Good morning and welcome to Boca Raton Community Church. We're glad you're here, and those of you online, we're so glad you're with us today. And all of you who are here in person, there seems to be more and more each week. And as Haley said, there's more in our next gen, which is from preschool all the way up to fifth grade. And we're glad you are here and all our other ministries. And thank you for praying for the country of Lebanon and our partners over there, Pastor Najim and his team. He represents a single church like we are, but he has a group of churches throughout Lebanon, Syria, and the entire Middle East, actually. And so this campaign is for Lebanon itself, but he does work across the Middle East. So continue to pray for them as they have great opportunity. Lebanon is a country that is in crisis even before the explosion, a crisis of a lot of things, of government, of economics, and certainly of the various religions that are working there against each other. And the word of Jesus Christ needs to come there. So please pray for the people of Lebanon and the workers there and Pastor Najim. And he's been here many times, not able to come obviously this year to visit us or we to visit them, but we still pray for them. So thank you very much for that. Well, this has been an interesting week. As this entire year, I come up here and say, this week's been interesting, and last week was interesting, and the week before, and interesting is just a safe word to say a lot of things are happening. I don't need to repeat all the things that are happening, but what happened earlier in the week, and then what's happened later in the week, this is a great opportunity to do something if you are not already doing it, and I hope you are already doing it, and that is praying for our leaders. We should be praying for our leaders, and can I just say this, and so you can send me the emails if you want, you should pray for those leaders you don't like as well. If you just pray for the leaders you like, you are missing the entire purpose of it. When Christ said and Paul said, pray for your leaders, Nero was the leader. Okay, so don't think, or maybe it was Titian at that time or one of those, but he was saying, pray for the leaders. So don't just pray for the ones you like, pray for all of them. Pray for our leaders here in this city. Pray for our leaders in this county. Pray for our congresspeople and our senators and our president and the politicians who are seeking election. Pray for them. We don't pray for just the ones we like. Now, we do need to pray specifically for our president today and his health, and many that were there at that event last week and or 2 weeks ago now, and those who are ill. And so I do want to take a moment to pray for our leaders, and just a special prayer this week. A lot of things are happening, and it sounds like his health is good, getting back, but you know, you never know. And so, but we still pray, do we not? So can we just pause for a moment? And each of you at home, just pray where you're at. And if you're in a group at home or somewhere and you can pray out loud, do that. If you want to pray with the person next to you right now, please feel free to do. If you want to pray by yourself quietly, please do that. And again, don't just pray for the people you like. Pray for the other ones too, because this country needs help from its leaders, and we need to pray. And we've been asked to pray for our leaders, and today is a good day. So let's take a moment and pray for our leaders. Father, we pray for our president right now and Mrs. Trump, for their family. We pray for their health, for recovery. I pray that as he seeks to run the government from the hospital and from other places with his people, that you would give them wisdom as they do that. Father, I pray for Mr. Biden and his wife, for Mr. Pence and his wife, for Mrs. Harris and her husband, and all those who are running either for office or running the country as they are. I pray for our congressman out of this district, Mr. Deutsch. I pray for our mayor, Mr. Singer. I pray for our county commissioner, Mr. Weinroth. And Father, I pray for all of our leaders. You have placed them there. Some we like, some we don't. That's between us and them, Lord. But between us and you, we ask that you would bless them. We ask that you would keep them healthy. We ask that you would allow them to make good and right decisions on behalf of our nation. And we pray we, as the people of God, could act like the people of God. And I pray that you would encourage us and give us hope and give us an understanding of our role in this country at this time. And I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Let me just give you a word of encouragement. We're in the book of 1 Thessalonians, which we'll open the word here in just a moment. It's a book of hope. It's a book that is one that gives us encouragement. You know, some books are about joy, some books are about some other things. It's a book of hope, and I think the people of this nation need hope right now. You and I need hope, and we need to give hope to others. And so I think the only way we can give hope is to share the gospel, because we do not know what the future holds. If you want to give hope by saying the economy's going to go up or the education system's going to go up, you can try, but who knows what's going to happen next week? You want to give hope by who's going to win this and who's not going to win that? There's no hope in that. The hope is in Jesus Christ. And the hope is in given to us as we open the word today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I've asked Cameron to open the word for us today. Cameron, who you see all the time, he is a part of the every service we do. Sometimes you see him up here, sometimes he's in the back running things, but he is a major part of our senior leadership team. And I've asked him to open chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians today. So open the word. Cameron, welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. Thank you. It is so good to be with you this morning. Thank you, Pastor Bill. Thank you, Haley. I don't know if anybody saw that new jewelry on Haley's left hand. We can clap for that. Congratulations. Very cool. We're excited for you guys. Congratulations. It is good to be with you this morning. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm excited to be able to open the word with you. Just a little bit of a recap. What we saw last week in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul is writing this book to this young church. And what we know in Acts chapter 17 is that Paul visited this area before, shared the gospel with them for just a couple of weeks, and then was chased out of town for fear of his life. He's on the run, and he leaves this young church, and he finds out later that they're actually doing quite well. Even though he was chased out of town, the gospel was heard by them, and they are flourishing and doing well. And so Paul finds this out, and he writes this letter to them, the Thessalonians, for a couple of different reasons. First, he's reminding the people of all the things that he shared with them when he was there. He's reminding them of the way that he acted, the way that he's being an example to them, and the way that they should act. And he's also trying to speak out against the people that are discrediting him. There were people that were saying that the message that Paul was preaching from God is not true. And so people were discrediting him. So what you're going to see throughout the text is that you're going to see Paul saying, I didn't do this, I didn't do this, but instead I did this. And as you know, you watched me do these things. It's this beautiful reminder as Paul is sharing with them what he did with them and showed them, and also to speak out against the people that were discrediting him. So let's take a look. We're going to break this into three chunks. Let's take a look. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll go verses 1 through 6, and then we'll take a look. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with any words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. Several things that we see here. Paul is saying over and over, I didn't do this, I didn't do this. As you know, you watched me do these things. The accusations being leveled against Paul, his argument is, you people are the proof that what I said is true and from God. The word of God has taken root in your life. It has transformed you. And this is the way that you watched me act when I was among you. These are things that you already know. And he says a number of things that he did not do. And what that's going to prove to do for us is it's going to help us accentuate. It's going to say, I didn't do this, I didn't do this, I didn't do this. And it's going to help accentuate the things that Paul did do and the things that God is doing among the people. And one of the things that Paul says is, he says, our coming to you was not in vain. Our coming to you was not for nothing. Paul is saying, there was a reason that we came to you. Even though we were only there for 3 weeks, even though there was a lot of conflict going on, Paul hears the report back from this young church, and he replies back by saying, our coming to you had a purpose. It was not in vain. Verse 2, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. Paul is saying, he's saying, watch me as I'm doing these things. I want you to also do these things. One of the things that Paul had was boldness. People are coming against Paul. They're speaking out against him. They think Paul's trying to deceive the people and overthrow the government potentially. And so he's reminding them, we had boldness as all of this conflict was going on. And this boldness was not from Paul himself. This isn't just Paul pulling himself up by his bootstraps and pushing through and on his own ability having boldness. That's not what this is. It also isn't God making things easier for him. This is not boldness because God removed the conflict or made things easier for Paul and for the people. What we see here is that Paul had boldness, but not in himself. We see boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. There's some people here that need to hear that you should have boldness in God to accomplish what God is asking you to do. If God is asking you to do something, we can have boldness in what he's asking us to do. If you're doing what God wants for you to do, that doesn't mean that you hear what God wants you to do and then you do it in your own strength. Paul had a boldness in God. And his boldness in God was because he relied on the truths of God. Because of his relationship with God, it gave him that boldness. So he says, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel in the midst of much conflict. There's a lot of conflict going around. And there's conflict going on here in the state. In our country, there's conflict in a variety of ways all over the place. And Paul's saying, in the midst of conflict, we can have boldness in our God to declare this message that we believe can transform lives. We have a boldness in God to be able to declare this. And he goes on, he says, our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God. Okay, so stop there. He's saying, we're not trying to deceive you. People are saying that we're trying to deceive you. This is not false. This is true. Our appeal does not spring from error or impurity. He's saying that this is the real deal. And the meat of this section here, verse 4, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. We have been entrusted with the gospel. This word entrusted, a possible definition for this could be to assign the responsibility to do something. Those of us that are followers of Jesus, Paul was a follower of Jesus, the people in this young church followers, and for us in the room, we have been entrusted. We have been assigned the responsibility to do something. We have a job to do as believers. And I saw some of these graphics that I'm going to show you up on the screen this week. There's this thing that goes around online sometimes that shows people that had a job to do, that performed their job very, very poorly. And then the caption normally reads, "You had one job." Let's take a look at these people that had one job and let's see how they did. "Thanks for a great year in purple." Thank you. There you go. Let's take a look at the next one. "Do not enter. Enter only." Very cool. "You had one job." Let's take a look at the next. "Do not stack." Beautiful. Let's take a look at the next. "You had one job." That is not Batman. Let's take a look at the last one. If you don't think that's funny, we got problems. "You had one job. Identify the country and make sure that the word matches." People, we have a job to do. We have a job, and we've been entrusted to do that job. We've been assigned the responsibility to do something. And what I don't want to do is get to the end of my life and have God say, "Cameron, you had one job. Why didn't you do it?" And so we take this so seriously that we have been entrusted with the gospel. What is it that we have been assigned the responsibility to do? We have been entrusted with the gospel, the good news. And I don't think we can hear this often enough, that the gospel is the good news that God sent his son Jesus because he loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins so that we could have freedom from our sin. Because the reality is that there is sin, and that separates us from God. And God has this plan that involves love and a hope and a future for us, and our sin, the things that you and I do that go against who God is, that separates us from God. But God did not leave us hanging. It says in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so that what that does is that it gives us the opportunity to have life because Jesus died and lives, we too can live. But the reality is that we need to respond to that free gift of salvation, this gift that's offered to us through Jesus. That is the gospel, that all who believe and receive, repent and turn away from our old ways and turn to Jesus, we can have life. And that is good news. And that is the message that has been entrusted to us as believers to share. So the verse says, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. You're going to see the first point up today. It's just exactly what the text says. We are entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. And we're going to see in a second what our motivation should be as we speak. But the reality is, we've been entrusted with this message, so we speak. And many of us don't often share the gospel. We don't often speak this good news that has transformed the lives of many of the people in this room. You might ask yourself, well, why am I not sharing? And maybe I could ask you, why aren't you sharing this good news? And I saw this play out a little bit over the last several weeks. I saw that in my own life, I was talking about and sharing the things that I was most excited about. That's just how life goes. If we're excited about something, if something has changed our perspective or changes the way that we live or we had a good time, we went to a good restaurant, we're going to talk about that restaurant with others. That's just how it goes. We talk about the things that are most exciting to us. So there were two things over the last couple of weeks. There was a TV show on Netflix and a book that I just really enjoyed and I recommended to some people. And I said, you got to check out this show. And I loved the book so much that I bought 5 copies and gave it out to people that I thought could use it. Why did I do that? Because I was excited about the content and I thought, man, this is great stuff. I gotta tell you about this thing. How much more important is the good news that we have been given? How much more important is that than a book or a TV show? the gospel, the good news that God loves us so much that we can have life with him eternally, is such better news than some of the dumb things that you and I talk about on a daily basis. Why doesn't this just come out of our mouths more often? So maybe a question that you should be asking yourself is, well, if I'm not talking about this as often as I could be, why is that? And we could probably come up with a couple of guesses as to why that may be the case for you, and I'm going to leave that between you and God to really talk with him and ask, what is it about my relationship with you, God, that is causing me to not want to share this good news? And I can boil it down potentially to two main concerns that I hear people have. I know there's a lot of concerns as to why we don't share the gospel with people in our lives, but I can boil it down to two main concerns, and hopefully this encompasses a lot of them for you. And I see it being apathy and fear. Apathy, let's start there. Well, I'm saved, so I'm good, and I'm just gonna go on living my life, and that's basically it. We lack compassion for those that are lost. We have forgotten what it feels like to be lost, some of us. We should not have a lack of compassion. We should not be apathetic, because the reality is, we're going to see this in several weeks. If you just turn to 2 Thessalonians 1:9, this is the next book that we're going to get to. It says that those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus will suffer punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his might. The reality is that there's no time to be apathetic. We need to have compassion. We see when Jesus was alive and he was on earth and he saw the crowds, he felt compassion on them. When we see those that are lost, we should have compassion on them. It is not just enough to be apathetic. We must be concerned for them. Let's look at fear. We often think, if I share Jesus with this person, maybe they're not ready for it, maybe they're not expecting, I don't know what they're gonna do, I don't know if they're gonna think less of me. We have this fear surrounding sharing Jesus with people. And there's several reasons why this fear should not play in for us. First, the great thing is that we are not responsible for the outcome of them hearing the gospel. We don't need to put that pressure on ourselves. Well, what if I fail? What if I say the wrong things? The Spirit is going to speak through you, and you don't need to be afraid. We're not responsible for the outcome. God is responsible for the outcome. Paul says in a different book, I planted the seed, but God caused the growth. God causes the growth in our hearts and in the hearts of those that we share Christ with. We are not responsible for the outcome. But I know that we get very afraid sometimes. We're afraid of what people might think of us. And this might not make you feel any better, but the reality is that the answer is in the second half of this verse. We have been entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God. So this thing that we're afraid of, the way that people might perceive us, and I am right there with you, I have felt it as well. This thing is not even real and shouldn't even come into our thought process. So we speak not to please man. We're not speaking to please man, but we're speaking to please God. Paul says in a different book, I'm not trying to please man, I'm trying to please God. For if I were trying to please man, I would not be a follower of Jesus, because they're separate, they're opposed. So he's saying, I'm speaking the gospel not to please man, but to please God. And that last little part of the sentence there, who tests our hearts. God knows what's going on in our hearts all the time and as we share the gospel. That's why Paul's saying that I am not impure, that I've been approved to share this gospel. God knows what's in my heart. He knows this is a genuine message from him. But yet we get so wrapped up in what people think about us. Isn't it so great to know that what God knows about us is so much more important than what man thinks about us? We get so wrapped up in what people think about us. Paul's saying, as a great example to us, I am not here to please man, but I'm here to please God, because God tests my heart. God knows what's going on inside of my heart. We speak to please God, not to please man. So we have this gospel. We have this gift. We have been assigned the responsibility to share. Sometimes we just don't. There's a great kid song that many of us sang that really helps simplify this a little bit for us. If you recognize it, see if you can jump in with me. This little light of mine. All right, great job. You guys did awesome. If you didn't grow up in church, we had some weird songs. We just sat around, we ate goldfish and lollipops, and we had a great time. If you don't know that song, you should learn it. I don't think we've sung that song in here in a long time. Hide it under a bushel. Hey, look at you guys. You got it. Look, you already knew a song about this. This is great. This little light of mine. The Bible defines that we are like light. And the purpose of light is to shine. Hide it under a bushel? Nope. No, I'm gonna let it shine. That's what lights do. They illuminate the darkness. And so that's what we are. We are like light, shining in the darkness of a lost and broken world. We shouldn't cover it up. We shouldn't hide this good news or keep it to ourselves. Next time you need a little bit of motivation, just remember that song. The purpose, the reason that we exist is to be lights on earth for God. That is why we exist. We have a job to do, and it is to declare the good news of the gospel that God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for us. And that is news that is good enough to share with those that we come in contact with. And Paul goes on in the verses here, and he's sharing that the way that I'm acting, Paul's saying, I'm an example to you, and because my life has been changed by the gospel, and so has yours, there are some ways that we should interact as believers together. And so we see this in verse 7. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of our God, but also ourselves, our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we may not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you, encouraged you, charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Paul gives these two examples of how we should love each other. And he compares it to the love of a mother and the love of a father. A love of a mother and a love of a father. He says, we were affectionately desirous of you. Paul was there for 3 weeks, it says in Acts chapter 17, and he had this incredible relationship with them. Why? Because the gospel of God brings people together. They were only together for a short period of time, but yet their hearts were knit together. They were in relationship with each other, and they saw each other. And Paul is saying that like a mother, I did this, and like a father, I did this. And what a great example to all of us, something that we can all relate to, the love of a mother. One of the things that we all have in common here is that we all have a mom. And we all had somebody that nurtured us as we were growing up, whether it's your biological mom or somebody that was a mother figure in your life. Paul is saying, I, Paul, was gentle with you like a nursing mother. What do we know about a nursing mother and young parents? They give of themselves so that the child can live. They put aside their own needs, their own wants, and they sacrifice giving of themselves for this young child that can't do anything on its own. When you were a young, young baby, unless somebody fed you, you would not survive. That's just how it goes. Every single one of us. And so Paul is saying, like a mother, I was nurturing you. I was giving you food to eat. I was showing you how this whole Jesus thing works. I was nurturing you. I was being gentle with you. And he says, I shared not only the gospel, but our own selves. See, it's not just enough to share the message of the gospel. We also need to have relationships with people and give of ourselves to them, make sacrifices of our own wants and our own needs so that we can give of ourselves, like Paul is setting the example for us here. So he says that we should have the gentleness of a mother. We also have some character qualities of a father. And he says, we exhorted, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. He says, you have the gentleness of a mother, and just like a father, exhort, encourage, and charge you to walk the way that God wants you to walk. And he's saying that you need to have both here. There's gentleness in the way that leaders act to the people that they're leading, the way that you act with each other. There should be a gentleness as we go about this, but there also needs to be this level of encouragement, of urging people to be better, to do better, to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So we should have both here. It's not just one or the other, that our love for each other, leaders' love for the people that they lead, should have all of these character qualities: gentleness, encouragement, charging or urging you to walk in the way that you should go. And this encouraging is so important, especially in this day and age that we're living in now. We have to encourage one another. The days are just, who knows what tomorrow is going to bring. We need to be able to encourage each other. And I just want to share with you today that regardless of what you are going through, whether this has been a really tough year for you or a really great year for you, that the same God that carried these people through conflict, life and death scenarios, the same God that pulled them through is going to pull you through and can be enough for you if you trust him. And that's something that we can cling to. Let's look at, so that we are living out the gospel, so we love. That's your second point. That's just what I've been talking about. We are living out the gospel, so we love. We are living out the gospel, so we love. Let's take a look at this third section here. We're going to look at verse 13. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. So Paul is saying, I thank God that this message has gone out and that you've received it and that it's been accepted and that it's at work in you. The third thing that we see here, the word is at work in us, so we praise. The word is at work in us, followers of Jesus, so we praise. Paul is saying, thank God. We thank God constantly for this. Praise God that this young church and many of you in the room here today have heard the message of the gospel, have received it, and have accepted it. And the good news is that when this word of God comes to you, it is at work in you. So what we see here is God speaking through Paul, the people responding, and then their lives are transformed. The word is at work in them. And what's so cool about this is that we see two times here. We see what this young church did in the past and the present. In the past, what did they do? They received the word of God, they heard the word of God, and they accepted the word of God. That's all past. But then we see the present tense. The word of God is at work. Present tense in you believers. There was an event, several events that occurred in the past where you accepted, you heard, you received the word. And now, because you're followers of Jesus, the word is at work in you. Present tense. And I think it's important to note that this is happening because so many people come to God, hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and then know that they can't do enough, know that they're sinful people, and they just kind of leave that message, and then for the rest of their life, just, I can do it by myself, and I can do it by myself, and I can do it by myself. The reality is, you've heard, you've accepted, you received the word of God. It needs to be at work in you every single day. The good news of the gospel was good news the day you heard it. It's good news yesterday. It's good news today. It's good news the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. And we never need to stop reminding ourselves how good it is that God loves us so much that he gave us a way to have relationship with him. That is good news. The first time you heard it, and it's good news today. And I want to remind you, church, that we need to see the importance of this, of preaching the gospel to others, but also preaching it to ourselves so that we can know for sure every single day that God loves us and he has a plan for us. That the good news is good for all of us every single day. It's a number of different things that we didn't get to in there. I encourage you to read it throughout this week. As we close, there's probably a couple different groups of people in the room. Those that are followers of Jesus currently, and those that are not. And I want to speak to you. If you are a follower of Jesus, I want to speak to you now. We have been entrusted with this message. We must do something with it. We have been assigned the responsibility to share this message with those that we come in contact with. We've been entrusted with it, so we speak. We don't let fear or apathy get in our way as we're doing it, but we proclaim the good news with boldness in God. Many of you are sitting here thinking that maybe you should be sharing more often. Maybe you should pray for God to give you the name of a person that you should share Christ with. Some of you guys are doing this every single day. I don't want to assume that nobody's doing it. If you are sharing the gospel, I want to encourage you, continue doing that. Continue having boldness in God as you share, and praise God that you're doing it. And I'm looking at and seeing people that just regularly share what they're doing, and it's so encouraging to me to be able to hear that. But if that's you, I want to encourage you to take a moment, pray to God, ask him to give you the name of a person that you can share with, to give you boldness in him, because your life has been transformed. You want to see others' lives transformed as well. And I want to encourage you to do that this morning. For those of you that are not followers of Jesus, you've heard about him this morning. You know that God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And I want to encourage you this morning. Today can be the day that you stop trying to just be a good person on your own effort. That you can put aside your wants and what you think you need and your past and your struggles, and you can run to God so that you can have freedom from that sin that holds you. The Bible says that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died so that we don't have to be a slave to our sin anymore. And that is good news. But we need to accept it. We need to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and we need to receive this message. And so in a minute, our prayer team is going to be coming forward. We're going to have prayer up front. And if you're sitting here today going, I am hearing about this message of Jesus, I'm not sure exactly what it is, or I'm done living my life for myself, I want to live for Jesus, our prayer team would love to be able to pray for you and with you to that end this morning. They would love to be able to introduce you to Jesus, and I pray that you would. We have a responsibility to share the gospel, to encourage, to boldly walk as believers. And I want to encourage you to do that this morning and beyond as you go. Let me pray for us now.